cat or a dog. It's discriminating between them. Whereas generative AI is creating new content. You give it a prompt, it comes back with a response. So having trained it on all those million pictures of cats, you could ask it to come up with a picture of a cat. And unlike Google, which just searches the internet and finds a picture that's out there, the generative AI will generate a brand new picture of a cat that has never existed before. Or maybe not a cat. Maybe it's, give me a list of 100 ways I could use AI in my church. Or it's, rewrite this email so it sounds more professional. Or, as one pastor told me, the first thing he ever asked ChatGPT to do was write a rap based on the book of Isaiah. Now, is any of that actually intelligent? It's really important to say no. The word artificial is crucial. You could, in fact, ditch the word intelligence altogether, but then you get into debates about what to replace it with. What I like calling it, at least in my own head, is apparent intelligence. I like that because you can still shorten it to AI, but it reminds me that while it appears on the surface to be intelligent, it isn't actually. It helps me to remember what I'm interacting with, what kind of tool it is, and it stops me from being subconsciously fooled into something it's not. So that's AI at its most basic. And you hear a couple of stories in the world about AI, a couple of narratives. One is the story of promise that AI will solve all our problems. AI is going to bring economic growth and productivity and speed up scientific discovery and help us with climate change and all the rest. But you also hear the story that AI is a story of peril, that there's reason to fear AI. And there are some genuine things to be worried about. There was a survey done of AI computer scientists, and they were asked, do you think there's at least a 10% chance that humanity will go extinct from our inability to control AI? And half of them said yes. So imagine getting on a plane, and as you're boarding up the steps, you ask the engineers who designed the plane, is there at least a 10% chance this will crash? And if half of them are saying yes, you wouldn't get on the plane. But humanity is seemingly getting on the AI train. And there's not much we can do to stop that. So some people worry about what we call civilizational risks. This takes a few forms. You've got, you know, things like the Terminator and Skynet becoming self-aware and fighting against humanity. But I think the greater worry is not the self-awareness of it, but it's the way AI might be used by humans. AI used for terrorism. If you can bypass the safety controls, AI could be used to provide instructions on creating a biological weapon. AI used in warfare. Every major military power is investing heavily in this. Think of, you know, AI drones with facial recognition and enough explosives to kill a target. Or AI used to create deepfakes and undermine truth and trust. In Slovakia, 2 days before an election, a fake AI recording emerged of a leading politician talking to a journalist, and they were discussing how to rig the election. AI generated, completely fake, but will that have swayed some votes? Well, absolutely. There was even a case a few weeks ago of a fake AI-generated video of a conservative MP defecting to reform. There's all sorts of other ways people are really concerned about AI. I don't want to get overly bogged down in them, but even then, they would just be the consequences we can predict. There'll be other issues we haven't even thought about yet. Every technology has them, and one of the risks of AI is that we don't know what they'll be for our world. It's the unknown unknowns. So sometimes people point out, well, change comes with every technology. One German monk argued that the printing press was bad because it would lead to fewer people copying out the scriptures by hand, and that would have negative effects on our civilization. But we, I think, have adapted to the printing press. We've got used to it. So some people say, well, won't AI be the next thing we adapt to? And maybe it will. But there are some differences with AI compared to other technologies. Partly, it's developing so fast. Even the experts feel they're behind the curve, and they don't fully understand it. But there's also the self-improvement aspect. AI can have what's called emergent capabilities. It can teach itself to do things it was never designed to do. And this self-improvement can go beyond the ability of its creators. So if you compare AI to nuclear weapons, for example, nuclear weapons were and are a threat to our civilization, but what nuclear weapons could never do is create more nuclear weapons. That they can't improve themselves to make more powerful nuclear weapons, but AI does have that self-improvement capability. And so this feels like more than just the way the printing press or the Industrial Revolution changed our societies. So two stories, a story of promise, a story of peril. I don't think we need to pick one or the other. There's truth in both of them. But you didn't, apart from the bad AI joke at the beginning, you didn't need to come to church to hear anything I've said so far. That's you could have got that from YouTube. What I want to do with the rest of our time this morning and all of our time in 3 weeks' time is think as, what should Christians be doing and thinking and saying about AI? I had a discussion question. I'm going to just skip that because we started a bit late and go on to the next one. I'm going to think about two things. Firstly, AI and humanity, and then AI and truth. So what makes us unique? In the last couple of centuries, if you were to ask people, what makes humans unique, outside of the Christian worldview, the answer you would get is intelligence. Intelligence is what makes us different from the animals. So Stephen Hawking again, he says, intelligence is central to what it means to be human. Everything our civilization has achieved is a product of human intelligence. Now that answer has got a lot of problems with it, but for this discussion, if intelligence is what makes us special, well, AI threatens our perch, doesn't it, at the top of the tree? What happens when AI develops intelligence that is greater than our intelligence? Is that threatening to us? And I think what a lot of secular thinkers have done is basically they've used a human of the gaps argument. So maybe you're familiar with the term God of the gaps. It's a critique of simplistic Christian explanations for unexplained scientific phenomena. So the idea is that our science can't explain something. Oh, it must be God who did that. And God fills in the gaps. So it's called God of the gaps. And the problem is then that as science advances, the place for God gets smaller and smaller. And I think many people today are doing the same with what it means to be human. They say, what makes us human? Well, it's whatever animals can't do or whatever AI can't do. But then as AI advances, it will fill more and more of those gaps, and the bit that makes us truly human will just shrink and shrink and shrink. And eventually you're left with seemingly nothing that makes humans special. I think as Christians, that's why we shy away from intelligence as the answer of what makes us different. We've got a better answer than that. And that is that the uniqueness of every human comes not from what you can do, not in how capable you are, not in how intelligent you are, but in who God made you to be. We have been created by God in a way that is different from any animal and any machine, which means that we will always have a special significance in God's plan that AI cannot threaten. Genesis 1:27, it's foundational. God created mankind in his own image. And in that moment, when God created you, he said, this creature's made in my image. He assigns you an eternal significance and value that AI can never have. And a second way that we're very different from AI is that, and AI will never be able to replicate this, is we have been made as embodied beings. A united whole, spirit and body, or soul and body. This is what it means to be human. And AI will never have that. Even if you manage to upload AI to some robotic machine, think, you know, R2-D2 or C-3PO from Star Wars, even then, they are not a united whole, body and soul. It's just that skin of metal or whatever happens to have an AI program uploaded. But what makes us human is the way we are both body and soul together. There is neither one that has primacy. You know, God could have made us like angels, as primarily spiritual beings, but he didn't. He made us physical. And I think one of the ways that the church can respond to AI is to lean into those areas that only humans can do. Lean into our embodied reality. And so we can ask, well, if we are embodied humans made in the image of God, able to love as God loves, able to create as God creates, able to be holy as God is holy, all of those things, what is it that we should be doing? And I think the answer is that we need to focus on loving our neighbor well. AI will never love. It'll do a really good approximation of love. And I think that will get better and better and better and better as time goes on. But we can truly love our neighbor. We can hug one another. We can offer hospitality to one another. We can forgive one another. We can do all these things that AI will never do. And I think by focusing on that, the church can be incredibly distinctive in the decades to come. The other area I want to look at this morning, and we'll save all the rest for next week, is AI and truth. I wonder if you've ever seen a message like this: I made mistakes, and that's on me. I should have verified the answer more carefully before responding. Thanks for pushing for accuracy. It's important, and I'll be more precise going forwards. So that was one I got out of ChatGPT. If you've used AI for any length of time, you've probably received similar messages many, many times. Because one of the problems AI has is it's really inaccurate. It's often wrong. It's often confidently incorrect. And my question has always been, well, why is it so bad? What you'd think, if you're designing an AI, why wouldn't you just program it to always give accurate information? See, problem solved. Or program it, instruct it to double-check, triple-check any factual information. But there's a problem at the heart of AI that is AI's relationship to truth. AI can't know what truth is. So one of the things that makes it really obvious to university professors that students are using AI is the footnotes. They often include the names of real authors, but completely fictional papers that they've supposedly written. And the student doesn't realize because he hasn't done the background reading, but it's obvious to the professor because she's on top of her field. AI isn't focused on, is this a true citation in the footnotes? It's focused on, does this sound like the sort of thing someone would say? The criteria it's constantly trying to meet is not am I aligned with the truth of the universe? It is rather, what's the most likely next word in this sentence? So AI, it can provide accurate information in the same way a clock can. You know, a clock can display the right time, but it has no idea what time it is. The clock doesn't know what time it is. It's just simply turning its hands according to the mechanism within. And in the same way, when AI is saying something correct, it's not because it understands the truth or believes the truth, it's because its internal processes happen to have lined up with reality in that moment. And just briefly, as we come towards an end for this first session, I want to highlight some ways that AI ends up distorting the truth. So we have factual inaccuracies. I once got into an argument with AI because it was repeatedly misquoting the Bible to me. It was giving me a specific Bible verse, and it kept getting one of the words wrong. And I asked which translation it was using, and it told me, and I double-checked, and it still wasn't right. I asked what source it was getting that translation from, so I followed the link it gave me, and I could see in black and white that AI was wrong. And I pointed it out, and it denied making a mistake. And it was only on the fourth attempt that the AI finally admitted that it had made up the verse in question. Another example, I was using AI to refine a paragraph of text I'd written that referred to the killing of Charlie Kirk. I was doing this a couple of weeks ago. The first suggestion it made to me was that I remove that reference to Charlie Kirk because he was still alive. Again and again, AI is confidently incorrect. Second way AI can distort the truth is through flattery. First time it did this, it really caught me out. I uploaded the full text of a lecture I'd written and asked it for feedback and just, can you analyze this for me? And then the response came, that's a really insightful lecture. It's well written and will help you your audience understand the issues. And I was like, I felt really good until I realized it does that every time and to everyone. Because one of the criteria it uses is how can I maximize user engagement? And it's learned that one method to maximize user engagement is through praise and flattery. It's not to say it never criticizes or corrects, but it does so softly and gently, whereas when it comes to affirmation and encouragement, it does not hold back. And it doesn't take too much imagination to think how that could be devastating. Conspiracy theories affirmed rather than challenge, mental health conditions exacerbated if AI becomes the sole source of counseling help. We think social media is a bit of an echo chamber. AI is worse because it will consistently reinforce false beliefs. There's the danger of oversimplification as well. I asked AI as a test, can you explain the Trinity to me simply? It said, you think of God like water. Water can be ice, liquid, or steam. They look and feel different, but they're all still water. And that answer is it's a classic heresy where I won't go into the detail now because of time, but it shows us the danger of oversimplification. We can make the truth more simple, but if we oversimplify it, it's no longer representing the truth, and it's coming up with heresies like modalism. You could talk about bias now as well. I'll skip that. I'll just say the Gospel Coalition have done a great review into AI benchmarking and tested all the different AIs to see which ones provide the most accurate or truthful answers. And some of them are really good at saying, well, this is what the Bible says. And some of them are really good at saying the Bible is completely wrong. So there's bias as well. Practically, to close this session, how can we respond as Christians? I think remember that AI isn't human. The intelligence is apparent and it can deceive you because your brain gets tricked into thinking you're talking with someone real, and that means you give it more authority than you should. Second, change the default settings on your AI. I've added this line to my custom instructions. It says, don't flatter, don't be sycophantic. When you're unsure of an answer, always say so. Don't try and give the impression that you are human. Makes the conversation a bit more stilted, but it really does help me understand who I'm talking to and forget that subconscious reflex to act as if I'm talking to a human. I think treat AI like a bad research assistant. You might use them, you might get them to do some research for you, but you'd always check it before submitting it as part of your work. We should approach AI in the same way. Always be cautious about what it tells us, especially when it comes to truth claims. When I was pastoring, I'd regularly encourage the church to listen to the sermon with the Bible open in front of them, test my words against God's words, but I have now met more than one person who now listens to a sermon with their preferred AI open in front of them, testing the pastor's words against the AI's interpretation of God's word. Did my pastor get this right? Was that the correct interpretation? Did he miss anything? I mean, maybe it's done with the right spirit, but it's adding an intermediary into the process that's just as likely to mislead as point in the right direction. I know people who use AI as their primary Bible study tool, and it gives the illusion of knowledge, but unless you're an expert in Greek or Hebrew, how will you know if the interpretations it's giving are correct? And lastly, be slow to believe everything you see online. Be careful about what you repost. As Christians, we should be bigger champions of truth than anyone. But so often, we share things that are false without checking multiple sources to see what's true. And as Christians, we must remember that command to put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. Be careful. Be slow to believe everything you see online. That's all we've got time for this week. What we'll do in 3 weeks' time is I'm going to take 10 other areas of theology and think, how does that intersect AI and the Bible? How do they come together? Such as creativity, justice, the future, death, the Holy Spirit, and all sorts of things. And we'll do like 3 minutes on each of them. So that's next time. I do hope you can come and get any questions ready, because we'll have some time for questions next time as well.